Thank y'all. I want you to take your Bibles just a few minutes. Go to the book of Psalm, chapter number 85. Psalm, chapter number 85. And the Lord has been dealing with my heart lately about revival. And I'm convinced, as a 53-year-old man, been saved this year, 40 years of my life, got saved when I was 12 years old, almost 13. But I know we probably never will see a nationwide revival. I'm just the way things are going. But God can do whatever God wants to do. I'm not putting God in a box. I'm not limiting God. But what I would like to see is revival in a lot of the churches that we go to. I believe in personal revival. And you say, how do you know I'm a candidate for revival? And preach, I've come to look at it like this. If there ever was a time in your life you were closer to God than you are right now, you are a candidate for revival. I believe we can see revival in the Town East Baptist Church. I believe we can see revival in the Matthews family. I believe we can see revival in the Bowers family and the Lemoy family and the Davis family and the Riggs family and the Wingate family, and if I don't call your name, you need it too. The West family, the Lewis family, several I could call, especially the Garza family over there. But we need a revival. Kogan came in this morning and preached to the chapel. And as I looked at all those, and I call them kids, I don't mean any disrespect by that, but I looked at all those young people in that chapel service this morning, and I got to thinking, in 5 years, Brother J.D., what are they going to have to face? Miss Linda, in 2 years, we've seen how bad it's went downhill in the last 3 years. I mean, we've gone seemingly from the top of the mountain to below the valley just in the last 3 years. But it's not Washington's fault, and it's not Mr. Biden's fault as to why we're not seeing revival. We can blame it on politics all we want to. We can blame it on society all we want to. We can even look at the person right next to us and blame it on them. We can blame it on our neighbors. We can blame it on our coworkers. We can blame it on just about everything we want to blame it on. But the blame goes to that fella you shaved this morning. The blame goes to that lady that you curled her hair this morning in the mirror. That's where the blame lies. It's my fault. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And the same God that gave us revival in the founding of our country when they sailed across waters looking for a place where they could worship God the way they wanted to worship God, without a state or without a queen or without a government telling them how to worship God. The same God that gave revival in the founding of our country before 1776. The same God that gave revival in the Welsh revivals. The same God that touched two continents. The same God that gave revivals that my granddaddy talked about in the 1940s and the 1950s is the same God that can give us a revival today. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 verse 14 is still in our Bible. If my people, and that's exactly who he's talking to. He's not talking to the drunk down there on the bar stool. He's not talking to the dope dealer down there on the corner. He is talking to us. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here's the kicker, and will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Revival has to start with us. And I'm going to go ahead and be greedy tonight. If y'all don't want it, I'm begging God to give it to me. I've got a little grandson right over there, mean as a snake. I've got a little granddaughter, 2 years old. I've got another little granddaughter, about 4 months old. I know they're going to be mean as snakes because I know they're daddies. But if I don't see revival, preacher, they may not have a chance of ever enjoying any of One Nation Under God that I've got to enjoy. You young people, if your teachers, your moms and dads, for those of you that have saved moms and dads, and for those of you that would like for your mom and dads to get saved, if they don't see revival, if my dad's generation don't see revival, if my generation doesn't see revival, these children in the Christian school, these kids that are from other schools, they may never have a chance to know what it is to live in a Christian nation. And if I spit on y'all, I'm sorry. I tell this, I preach with a cough drop in my mouth. If it looks like I have a dip, I am from North Carolina, but I don't have a dip in my mouth. But I preach with a cough drop for two reasons. Number one, it helps keep my mouth, my throat moist. And number two, it's my timepiece. In about 20, 25 minutes, it's gone and I'm done. Everybody's going to bring Pastor Riggs a bag of cough drops tomorrow. I know y'all. I know y'all. Revival will take place then. But Brother David, you're in San Luis Potosí. They need revival there. All these missionaries you see on this wall, they need revival where they are. And revival is not for the lost man. They need the viving part. They need to be made alive. They need to be saved by God's amazing grace. But you and I who have been made alive, you and I who have experienced the presence of God, we know that my spirit bears witness with his spirit that I am a child of God. For those of us who have been saved by God's amazing grace, we need to realize that we need a revival. We need a move from heaven. We need God to not just come in and take part. We need God to come in and take over. We need our services to be filled with the power and the presence of God. And the only way that we can do that is we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to realize that, God, I am a sinner. I was saved by God's amazing grace, and I need revival in my own heart and in my own life. Amen. Psalm chapter number 85, verse number 6. This psalm starts off, they're acknowledging God for everything good he's done for them. Lord, you've been good to us. God, you've blessed us. But if you know the history of the children of Israel, God was good to them. They started worshiping idols. God sent them into captivity. They got right with God. God delivered them from captivity. They went back to worshiping the idols. They went back to worshiping the false gods. God sent them into captivity again. God was good to them again. He got them out, but it seemed like every time God got them out of the messes they were in, they forgot how they got to where they were, and they went back to worshiping the golden calves. They went back to worshiping the false idols. They went back to worshiping the false gods, and that's exactly how we are as the people of God. God will bring us out of a mess, and we'll make promises that we know we ain't going to keep. But these people of Israel said, God, we know how good you've been to us. But then we get to verse number 4 and verse number 5, and they say, God, when are you going to turn your anger from us? And I know I'm not quoting it exactly right, but they said, God, when are you going to cause your face to shine upon us again? God, are you going to turn your anger away from us? And that's the questions we need to be asking God. God, how long are you going to be angry with us? God, how long are you going to turn your face from us? God, how long are we going to have to realize that we're going through the mechanics, we're going through the motions, but there is no power, there is no presence, there is no hand of God to help us, there is no hand of God upon the congregational singing, there is no hand of God upon the preaching, there is no hand of God upon the invitation, but it's because God is angry with us, because we've been worshiping idols and we've been worshiping false gods. But they get to verse number 6 and they ask this question: wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And for everybody that stood around the preacher and prayed tonight, I hope that was the desire of your heart. It's the desire of mine. I need a touch from God. My wife hollered amen right there. I need the hand of God. I need the presence of God in my life. I need the power of God in my life. I need His touch. I need that oil to fall all over me. I need to have my oil changed and the Spirit of God pour that fresh oil on me so I can see just how wonderful and how mighty and how powerful and how loving and how merciful and how long-suffering and how kind He is. I need to see God in all of His fullness. I need to see God again in all of His realness. But my eye is caught on an election. My eyes caught on what's going on in Washington. My eyes caught on what's going on all around me. I'm consumed with the sports world. I'm consumed with the weather. I'm consumed with everything else that's going on all around me. And I need to stop. I need to realize that God's as big as He ever was. God's the same. God can meet my need. God can give me revival. God can touch my heart. God can use me. And I want the power of God in my life. Wilt thou not revive us again? And I hope that's the desire of your heart tonight. I wasn't feeling like preaching all that long, but we may be here for a couple more hours. Every daddy needs to ask that question: wilt thou not revive me? In the Psalms, let me give you three quick points. We'll go to the house or go get Whataburger, whatever the case may be. Tacos, I think it is. Number one, we need to realize the source of revival. When the psalmist pens those words, "Wilt thou," he's not talking to the local ministerial association. But Chuck, he's not talking to the convention. He's not talking to the preacher down the road. He's not asking the deacons. He's not asking the treasurer. He's not asking his wife. He's not asking anybody else on this level, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" No, he's looking to the source. He's saying, "God, if we're going to see a move, if things are going to be different, if my family is going to be changed, if our church services are going to be more than routine, if our home is going to be above average, if we're going to be above normal, if we're going to be the example to our community," he's asking the source. He's saying, "God, wilt thou?" He's saying, "I know that I'm nothing. I know that these people that I'm around, they're nothing. We can't do it within ourselves. We can't do it through our might, through our power, through our looks, through our mechanics, through our methods. Revival has to come from you. Revival has to come from God. It's a vertical deal. It's not a horizontal. It's God has to send us revival. It has to come straight from the throne room of heaven. And the same God that has given us revivals in days gone by, He's the same God that can give us revival right here in 2024. God can give us revival. Wilt thou?" He said, "I got to go directly to the source. It's not in things I do. It's not in things I say. As good as Andy Lefwich plays that fiddle, I can promise you, you can come up here and look in this fiddle case. There's not a fiddle case full of revival up here. Caleb didn't bring it in his guitar case. Becky didn't bring it in her bass case. As big as that piano case I carry around in, it's not in there. I don't have it loaded up in my trailer. There's not some magic button I can mash, preacher, to send revival. We're not going to go down here to the Walmart. You can get a lot of things off Walmart and Amazon, but you ain't getting revival off of Walmart. You ain't getting revival off of Amazon. It's something that God has to send, but He's not going to send it to a bunch of dirty people. He's not going to send it to a bunch of jealous people. He's not going to send it to a bunch of bitter people. God says, "You got to clean yourself up. You got to know that I can give revival and I will give revival, but I'm not going to give it to somebody who is going going to taint it. I'm not going to give it to somebody who's going to destroy it. I'm not going to give it to somebody who's just going to hide it down in their heart. He says, I want to give it to somebody who can share it with somebody else. I want that fire to burn. I want that fire to go, and I want to be the start of the fire. I want God himself, the source of revival, to give me revival. Wilt thou? He said, I'm talking to you, God. And he's saying it in a plea. God, wilt thou not revive us again? God, we know it has to be you. We know it has to come from you. I tell about my pawpaw. I've told it here before. My pawpaw never met a stranger. Sometimes it was embarrassing to go to church with him. At least I thought it was embarrassing. Now I'm wanting to see it a whole lot more. Preacher, my pawpaw, greatest Christian I ever knew in my life. My pastor just about my whole life. If church started at 7, he got there about 5. He wanted to get in this seat, Brother Nick, right here on the front. He called this seat the spout where the glory come out. And he wanted to be sure he is under it when the service started. He didn't want to miss nothing. Me and my oldest brother, my grandma, we'd sit right here on the second row behind him. And honest to goodness, me and my brother was demons. I mean, we was little demons. We'd write in the songbooks. We'd tear pages out of the songbooks. We'd get up and go to the bathroom about 99 times. Because, I mean, there wasn't nothing else to do but sit there and just wait on the service for 2 hours. My ADD wouldn't let me do that. And honest to goodness, we done destroyed everything in this little section behind the front row. And my pawpaw's sitting up there just rocking. God, have your way in the service tonight. God, we need a touch. God, if you don't touch nobody else in the building, touch me. God, reach back there and touch my grandboys. If not, I'm going to reach back there and I'm going to slap them around if you don't. I mean, honest to goodness, he's begging God for a move. We're in a revival service, and he is begging God for God to do while we're there. Have revival. The song leader gets up. He says that we use the All-American hymnals. He said, let's turn to page number 55 in that All-American hymnal, When We All Get to Heaven. Remember the title, When We All Get to Heaven. That's what the song says, but my pawpaw couldn't wait. I mean, we're singing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he's prepared for us a place. And they'd start, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing. And my pawpaw just let it rip. Shout. Got the song book in his hand, hands going up, and I'm thinking to myself, Grandma, you got to do something. You telling us to be quiet in church, and he's shouting, what in the world? This is all mixed up. This is reverse psychology, but it's messed up. And she pats me on my head and goes, shh. And I can promise you, I'm not the one making all the noise. It's him. Well, after about 3 repeats on the chorus, the song leader says, let's sing What a Day That Will Be. I'm thinking, man, I'm glad that first song's over. Maybe this is a little slower. Things will calm down. I had one nerve that night, and my pawpaw was all over it. We started singing What a Day That Will Be. And honest to goodness, we sing the first verse, and my pawpaw don't sing a word. He is shouting all the way through it. And then we get to the chorus, the line that says, when he takes me by the hand. I saw my pawpaw reach up, and it's almost like he was grabbing a hand. And he's carrying on. And again, I grabbed my grandma by the skirt. I said, Granny, you got to do something. I said, he's seeing stuff. I mean, he is grabbing. This ain't right. And again, she pats me on my head, and she goes, shh. Well, they get to the second verse. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. My pawpaw starts to jumping a little bit then. And I'm like, Granny, he's doing aerobics. He's doing his exercises. And there's something wrong, preacher. I'd seen this all my life. But the Spirit of God done took up residence beside me, convicting my heart, using my pawpaw in what I thought was a bunch of ignorance. Well, they sing the chorus about five times, and on about the fifth chorus, Brother Andy, my pawpaw takes off running. From right here, the pastor and the evangelist are sitting on this end of the church. My pawpaw grabs the pastor over here in a big old bear hug. And you could hear him from all the way over there, above the singing. Brother, we get to go to heaven one of these days. God himself gonna take us by the hand. There ain't gonna be no more sorrow, no more burdens, no more sickness, no more pain. And forever, and next thing I know, they go to falling on the ground like Pentecostals. And I look at my grandma then, and I said, Granny. He was shouting. He went to hollering. He went to grabbing hands. He went to jumping. Now he's wrestling people to the ground like the WWF. I said, you really got to do something. And my grandma had both her hands up. She didn't care what I was saying. I'm thinking to myself, sitting right there on the second row where this young man's sitting, if you'll be quiet, he could get started preaching. He could finish preaching. We could go to the house. It'll all be over. That's what I'm thinking. He didn't have no 25-minute cough drop. My papa needed a shot. I mean, that's what I thought. That man of God, right as the fifth chorus of What a Day That Will Be finished, he started walking to the pulpit, the evangelist. And he said, let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 16. And I told this the other night. He read about that beggar that sat at the rich man's gate full of sores. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He read about that rich man that died and was buried. Or the beggar was carried by the angels. And he read about that rich man that died, was buried, and was And in hell, he lift his eyes, being in torments. And he preached on those torments of hell. About 30 minutes, he described them, and I honestly felt like, as a 12-year-old boy, I was the next one to go. Conviction had so gripped my heart. And I'd been in church all my life, honest to goodness. I'd heard my pawpaw preach the same text. I'd heard it preached seemingly a dozen or more times, and I knew what this man of God was saying, but this night was different. We went home. I didn't even make a move. Too scared to move during the invitation. We get home, and I walk down my grandparents' hallway. My pawpaw went in. He needed to change his clothes. He done worked up a sweat. I walk behind him, Brother J.D., and he shuts the door, not knowing I was there, shuts the door right in my face, and there's a mirror on that door. And honest to goodness, all I saw was the flames of hell that preacher just preached about. All I saw was the next one reflecting in that mirror who was going to go there next. My grandma's coming down the hallway behind me. And I just turned around. I said, Granny, that preacher preached on hell tonight. And she didn't miss a beat. She said, he done a good job too, didn't he? I said, Granny, he done a great job. I said, but I feel like I'm the next one to go. This is in a revival service now. In a revival service. And she said, do you need to be saved? And I said, yes, ma'am, more than I ever realized I did. She opened the door. The door to my right was my pawpaw's office door. And we opened that door and walked over in his office. And he had a big old Bible that he studied from on his desk. And she pulled that Bible off the desk and laid it down in the floor, and she went to read me some verses, how that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, how there's none righteous, no, not one, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. She said, son, you believe you're a sinner? I said, granny, that preacher done told everybody over at that revival I was. I said, but I already knew it. She said, do you believe Christ died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again? I said, granny, I think I've always believed that, but it's just been a head knowledge. She said, are you sorry for your sin? I said, granny, I'm as sorry right now as I've ever been in my life. She said, well, all you have to do is ask him. I said, that's easy? Is it that simple? And right then and there, preacher, I prayed just like I thought my papa would, just like he was talking to the fella sitting next to him. And I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I said, if I have to die like this in my sins, I know I'm going to die, and I'm going to face those same torments that that rich man's facing right now. I said, God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm sorry for my sins. Would you please come into my heart and save me? And right then and there, about 7 or 8 minutes after 10, on a Tuesday night in the month of August as a 12-year-old boy, God came into my heart. The person of the Holy Ghost took up residence in my heart, and I got saved. I realized that night the source of my salvation had to be revived. I had to be God himself. It wasn't nothing I could do, but the source of revival that took place at that church where God moved in and God convicted my heart and God saw several people, God saved several people, and people saw a move of God. They realized it ain't nothing we can do. It's not anything in our power. It's not anything in our strength. It's not anything in our mechanics. It's not anything in my personality. It's not anything in my ability, but it's all in him. And God used a revival to save my soul. And God had to bring the revival. God had to send the revival. And we have to realize tonight at 8:36 right here at Town East Baptist Church, the source of revival, it's not the singing group. It's not the preachers that are here. It's not the staff. It's not anybody sitting in the building. But it's the one who controls all things. It's the one that has saved you. It's the one that lives in your heart. He has to be the source of revival. Wilt thou. Number two, we have to realize that he's the source, but number two, we have to realize that we're the saints, the people of God, and we're the ones that need the revival. We can point our finger at the church down the road and say, sure enough, they need it. You can look at your husband or your wife. And I know some of you's thinking it right now. Sure enough, he needs it. We have to realize we all need it. For this section's sake right here. And I sure do appreciate y'all's attendance every night. It's a blessing that God has touched your heart. And I know some of you didn't have a choice because it never was a choice around my house. But some of you's got your driver's license. And some of you can't, and mom and daddy's not even here. You made the choice to come to revival services. And some of you adults, you could be doing 1,001 things tonight. And I know most of you's probably busier than a one-armed man hanging wallpaper. But you made the choice. Brother David, come the farthest, send the weeds for to see, all the way up here, just cause you realize, Brother David, we need a touch from God. We need a touch. It's us. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that needs it, preacher. I'm the one that needs it. You say, but you're preaching in the meeting. That don't matter. I'm the one that needs revival. Brother Mark gets here tomorrow night, you'll realize he's the one that needs revival. Brother, the pastor's daddy was here Monday and Tuesday night. You realize he needs a touch from God as well. We all need a touch. And I want to be touched. I want to be changed so that my little 10-year-old over there will realize that, hey, my daddy's in tune with God. I want my grandson over there to realize when he's old enough to understand that God has touched my pawpaw. God has touched my granddaddy. God has touched my pops. I want you young people to know that God has used this meeting to touch. I know God used this meeting to touch your daddy. I know God used this meeting to touch your family. I know God's used this meeting to touch a lot of families. I know the church is full tonight because you want a touch from God. You need to see God do the supernatural. You need to see God do that unexplainable. You need to see God do the impossible in your life. And because that we get ourselves in the jams and the messes that we do, we blame the devil a lot of times, but most of the time it's our fault. And because I know that I could fail tomorrow, because I know I could fail before that clock strikes midnight, I need a touch. I need a move. I need God's hand on me. I need revival. God, I'm one of your people. They said, wilt thou not revive us? Brother Chuck, you've seen it. Almost 50 years, maybe even over 50 years preaching the gospel. You've seen it. We need God. It's not a one-time deal. God saves us one time, but we're to be filled, as the verse says in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled. That tells me we leak. That tells me we got holes. That tells me we live in this flesh. If I'm to be reminded every hour, Brother Trini, that I'm to be filled with the Spirit of God, that tells me that I need some help. I need a touch. I need God to so invade my life. I need God to move in so I can make a difference in my home, so I can make a difference in my family, so I can make a difference in my church, so I can make a difference in my community. I need to be filled with the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. I need that touch. Wilt thou not revive us? But then they use that word again. That means, preacher, we done seen it one time before, at least one time before. God never has to repeat himself. God never has to take a redo. Brother Andy, Brother Mike, God never has to take a mulligan. God's never backed up and punted. God's never said oops. God never has to do anything twice, but I'm glad that he chooses over and over and over again to touch my heart and to touch my life. I pray every time before I get in the pulpit. God, my wife will tell you, I'm so nervous I could go in these rooms and I could throw up all over the floor. I'm so nervous, especially preaching here amongst y'all that know me. I mean, amongst y'all that we've done some crazy stuff together. I mean, amongst y'all that we've been all over creation just doing things. Y'all know me, and I know that I need a touch just like y'all need a touch, just like everybody in this building needs a touch. And they said, God, we need you to do it like you did in granddaddy's day. We need you to do it again like you did in papa's day. We need you to do it again like you did in our daddy's day. God, we need to see a move. Wilt thou not revive us again? God, we need to see it over and over and over again. God, we need to see it like they saw it in days gone by. But we have to realize it's us. It's us. We can blame everything else on everybody else. But until you get to the place where you realize it's you that needs it, and I keep coming over here like y'all need it real bad. Maybe you do. I'll get right here. Until we realize it's me. But JD, these kids will never get the help they need until you realize it's you. The teachers in the school, these kids will never get what they need unless you realize you need a touch from God. Wilt thou not revive us? Again, we're the saints. We need a revival. Number three, and I'm done. Caleb, come on up here and play something. Just get something on the piano. Wilt thou not revive us again? The source of revival. The saints need a revival. Baby, come on up. I want y'all to do that Send the Rain. I want y'all to do that. Michaela, you go to the piano. He makes this statement at the end of that verse, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I look at those words and I see the satisfaction after revival. They said, God, if you so choose to give it to us, God, if you so choose to show us yourself real, we'll be glad about it. We'll rejoice. And some of you look like if Ed McMahon or whoever brings the sweepstakes checks by your house now. Some of you act like if he knocked on your door and said you've won $10 million, you'd go, whoopee. Oh boy. That's wonderful. No, I don't think that's how you'll act. And that's temple. $10 million won't go a long way in this world, but I try my best to make sure it goes a long, long way. If it wants to happen, I'm not saying I don't. Y'all know me. I'm a big sports buff. I'm a Tar Heel, a North Carolina Tar Heel. If y'all want to see a real basketball team play tomorrow, 145. That just killed everything right there. But our football team for years has struggled. Our Tar Heel football team, we have the former Texas coach who was from the former North Carolina coach, came to Texas, choked several times, and now he's back in North Carolina coaching our football team, Mac Brown. Mac's done a little bit of improvement. But preacher, I love watching college football. I know he's a Razorback fan. We'll pray for him on that. Texas ain't got a whole lot more. Neither one. But if I'm sitting at my house on a Saturday afternoon, the few chances I get to do it, and the Tar Heels are playing football, even though they don't have much of a football team, Brother Davis, I know Tar Heel football games are just big pep rallies in the stands. Everybody's sitting in the stands saying, we can't wait till basketball season. But last year and seemingly this coming year, we've got a pretty decent team. And when I'm sitting on my couch on Saturdays and I'm watching the Tar Heels play football, we got that great quarterback, Drake May, a great quarterback. But one of the games I watched, I can remember sitting on my couch or in my recliner, and we got the ball. They kicked off to us, we got the ball. The first play from scrimmage, Drake May, the great quarterback, drops back in his six-step pass protection, and he throws a sideline bullet to number 81, one of our tight ends. But the problem was it wound up in the other team's hands. An interception. I can promise you I didn't jump up on my coffee table. I didn't jump up in my recliner. And I didn't say that's the greatest quarterback to ever put on a Tar Heel jersey. I can promise you I wasn't excited. I wasn't saying give that boy the Heisman. I wasn't saying, look at that great arm, look at that great pass. No, my comments were standing up and saying, put that bum on the bench. He don't even deserve a name on his jersey. Let him serve water. No, just go ahead and kick him out of the stadium. He's terrible. Horrible. That was my reaction because I wasn't satisfied with the play. But our defense held. Three and out. They give him another chance. And the next play from scrimmage, Drake May drops back in his seven-step pass protection, and he throws a bomb, post pattern. And our receiver, number 88, catches it and runs in the end zone. And I mean, starts at crossing your knees, throwing the ball down. I mean, just, and I'm honestly this time, preacher, I'm standing up on my couch and I'm thinking, I knew that boy was the greatest quarterback to ever put on the Tar Heel. Go ahead and give him the Heisman. Ain't no need to consider nobody else. He is going to be the greatest. He's going to break records. Number one draft pick. Going to carry his team in the NFL. The greatest quarterback to ever step on the field. It's because I was excited and satisfied with the result of that play. But stuff like that's temporal. They're already planning to play for another championship next year because this year's championship was temporal. But what could happen in the Town East Baptist Church tonight? Preacher, from the pulpit to the back door, what could happen in this place tonight has eternal value. It could be something that'll make you, some of you students coming back in 10 years say, hey, you remember that night in the month of March back in 2024 when God was so real in our revival effort, when God was so real in the hearts of his people, when the singing just stirred us, the preaching just moved us, God moved in, people got saved, and God done a work in my heart, God done a work in my parents' heart, God done a work in my grandparents' heart, God has moved in our service, and we can say, hey, God, you've done what you said you could do. We begged for it. We asked for it. We prayed about it. God, now you have done your work and we're satisfied and we'll be talking about it from days to come because we are satisfied after the fact that God can give us a revival. But it's up to us. It's up to us. A few verses down, they said, God, you've done a good work. You've done a good work. And I want to stand tonight and say, God, wilt thou? And I'm going to be greedy. I'm going to take it from the plural form to the singular form. Wilt thou not revive me? Wilt thou not revive me again? We need it. Admit it or not. And I know you're looking around thinking, yeah, they sure do. I could look at them and tell they do. Yeah, these kids, they really do. No, I'm not worried a bit about anybody else in the building. I'm looking at me. I need revival. God can do it. It's not a question if he can, though. They said, wilt thou? We're standing all over the building. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you're that one that's needing it, if you're the one that's asking for it, if you're one of them that's saying, God, I need it. I need you to give it to me. Wilt thou not revive me? Lord, I want to thank you for this night. God, I bless your name for being so good to us. Several are already coming to this altar. They've realized that we need it. God, the Town East Baptist Church needs revival. God, I pray right now that you'd have your way in every heart, in every life. God, for those that may be here tonight that's lost, don't know you as Lord and Savior, I couldn't think of a better time or a better place. They call unto thee in salvation and get saved. But God, I know the message has been primarily to the saved tonight. Wilt thou not revive us again? God, help us to realize just how desperate we are for a move of God. Just help us to realize just how desperate we are for the power of God, the presence of God, the hand of God. And God, we're begging. God, I'm begging. I need to see you move in my heart, in my life. God, I need to see you move in the life of my family, my friends. God, have your way. Touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. And help us to leave out these doors changed from when we came in for the better. God, help revival to so invade our hearts. If it's just one person that's on fire for you, God, I pray that it spread through the rest of us. Help us, God. We need a touch. We need your power. We need your presence in Christ's name.